I thought I knew about catching trout, but when I went on holidays, I experienced it. You know, you can read things in National Geographic, you can see gold mining in Australia, you know, you can see all the good things that people do on TV. And you feel like, oh yeah, gardening and building houses and the block. Diane thinks she loves the block. She really loves the block. And because she loves building houses. And, you know, it's a different thing, though, when you experience it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah? Can anyone else say yes?
Yeah.
Now, there will be a chance to interact in a different way this morning. When we talk about Mary Magdalene, etc., and how she loved Jesus, she'd been forgiven much, and she poured out her heart. Ladies, these are flowers from our garden. They were flowers from our garden. You'll be able to just grab a handful and just begin to worship. And you can do that while I'm preaching, okay? Also, you can pick handfuls of flowers, ladies. Okay? You can pick a handful of flowers. And also, we've got our communion. You'll be able to interact. We're going to have communion during the service, during the sharing of the sermon too, okay? So you'll be able to do lots of things, and you'll see where it all comes in, and you'll see why we've picked these things. So you just open that. In fact, I'll leave it open for you. And you can get in there and just begin to worship. And you can stand around and do it, or dance, etc., and we'll carry on preaching. Or you can do it at the end. So every sermon, I'll have something creative that you can interact with the sermon. Okay? All right, a big, big smile, please, and I'll take your photograph. Okay, wonderful. All right, now on the screen here, we've got, on my screen, I'll read mine, completely cleansed forever. So last Sunday, that was one of our points, that forever we have been completely cleansed. Yeah. Say if you sin in 2 weeks' time, when did Jesus forgive that sin? When, though? What was the date? No, well, what was the date? About 30 AD or something like that. That's when he forgave the world's sin. He doesn't get back on the cross and forgive them. Now, okay, all of our sins were forever forgiven.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, that's what the Bible says, and we learned about that last week. So if you missed that and you think, Percy, where's the scriptures? I could give you about five of them, but we gave you last week. So I'm just quickly going to briefly get on to part B shortly, but I'm giving you part A was last Sunday. Secondly, our sins have been blotted out. How many remember me talking about that last week? Just one? Oh, okay. There's a few others. Really good. Good. Excited. Get excited about this because everyone else gets excited around you if you're excited. Okay. So exhalifo, and that exhale means out, and ifo literally meant the stain is taken out or wiped away, and then there's a little bottle of perfume. We had a bottle of perfume. I've got it down over there, but we're not using it today. It's very expensive perfume, men's perfume. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And you could put it on your wrist. Girls or the men could put it on their face. And so this speaks of the very living presence of Jesus coming in when sin is removed from your life. Do you know that Jesus comes, you know, see, the Spirit flows where the blood goes. The Spirit flows where the blood goes. So when you've been every stain removed, that means every pain, every shame. Every stain, every pain, every shame, and now we reign. It's sort of like the most beautiful thing happens. And I'm studying Philippians for the Bible school this Tuesday. And we're going to get into chapter 1. And chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, just four chapters, is all about the living Christ in us. Christ in us. And he comes in. You can call him the Holy Spirit. You can call him Jesus, Spirit of Jesus. You can say the Spirit of God. They're interchangeable. But he comes to live. And that epo is a little example of a sweet perfume they used to spray on stains when they were removed. We do that in our culture today. I have a nice drink of water available for me. Really good. The next one you can have a look at here is this one. There is no recall on our sin. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that something, excuse me, isn't that something that we struggle with as people, as human beings? As we recall in our dreams, we recall in our subconscious, we recall when we're agitated, oh, that person though, they've just been awful. My dad was just awful to me in my life, or my brother's done something really bad to me, or my sister or my mother, you know, or those children of mine, they don't love me, and I gave them the best reared them well, and now, you know, I've got wayward children, and sometimes we recall, you know, these things that hurt us. And Jesus said in the new covenant of grace, he said, I will remember your sins no more. Everyone say no more.
No more.
Now, this is a double negative, as I taught last week. It's a double negative, and it's ume. Ume. Everyone say ume.
Ume.
And it means never, not ever. Never, not ever. Would you like to say that?
Never.
Not ever. So the stain is removed. It's forever. And here, no recall by Jesus. Now, is it smart to think this? That only the presence of Jesus can come when the whole work is done.
Yeah.
Only the presence of God comes when the whole work is done. So when we're inviting Jesus into our life and he's forgiving our sins, that means every sin has been forgiven for all time, because Jesus just doesn't go in and out.
Amen.
He stays in our life.
Amen.
See? So that means from his perspective, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's perspective, your life has been completely made clean. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Give him a hand. Give him a hand.
Woo.
For all time. Now, you see, you can know how to use a rod, and, you know, you can let down the lead line, and it's easy when you're trolling in a boat to fish. You know, you go 2 or 3 kilometres or knots, and you just let the line out, and if you've got a lead line, lead is in the middle of it, so it sinks down a bit more than what a line, nylon line would. And you can get it down 7 or 8 metres, or maybe 10 metres, and you let out 100 metres, and then you're sitting there just waiting for a big trout to get on the end. And then all of a sudden, and then some of them will fight you and take more line off you, so you ratchet it up a bit. And then you can feel the jolly rod being pulled out of your hand, you know. So you have to get back there, and, you know, I used to wear a belt there. Not a lot of trout fishermen wear a belt, but I find it more comfortable if I've got a little, you know, marsupial pouch in my tummy there. And I can reel it in, you know. Now, when you agree with God about what he has done, you will begin to experience sin dropping away from your life. You know the truth, and the truth sets you free. It is so good to be free. I tell you, it's so good to wake up in the morning and know that there's been no sin in your life for the last few months.
Wow.
Or the last 6 months. That you have, it's not that you have selective recall and you say, I'm just doing things and I'm not going to listen to the Spirit of God. No, it's really good to know that the Holy Spirit, you know, has no recall, and you have no recall, and as a result of that, sin consciousness is no longer in your life.
Amen.
And you're no longer on Struggle Street. You're on Restful Boulevard.
Amen.
And that's called Soul Rest R1. All right, let's quickly go into the next one. I better want to preach last week's message. I just want to tell you what you missed. All penalties have been cancelled. So sometimes we think, you know, when we're going through life, oh, what did I do wrong there? You know, oh, God, I'm sorry. Did I sin? All of a sudden you feel like, oh, God's not with you, or I had a crash in my car, or I stubbed my toe, or I cut my thumb with a knife, or, you know, my kids failed their exams. And I think, wow, God, what happened there? What went wrong? And we're always trying to feel that God is wanting to punish us. We have this thing in our culture, Aussies and Asians, same thing. We have this culture that God has got to be appeased somehow, and that, you know, as a result, you know, if we get out of line, you know, he's going to bring us into line like an angry father, and he's going to say, because you sinned, I'm not with you anymore. That is totally, totally off the planet wrong.
Amen.
Totally wrong. And if God is angry at all, Jesus' blood has been propitious. It is propitiated for us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It was more than enough. It was an overpayment for our sin.
Amen.
He overpaid.
Amen.
All right, so I want you to remember that it says there's absolute remission in the Bible. It means all penalties for any of your sin, past, present, future, has been cancelled. Now, don't you think this is a good deal? This is a brilliant deal. Can you find a contract like that where the grace and mercy of God sets up for you for life to be forever free from a domination of sin? That's what it says in Romans 6:14. It says, what does it say? There is no dominion of sin over you, for you're not under law, you're under grace. Okay, let's look at this. Okay, sinful nature nailed to the cross. I love that. I don't want to say anything more about that, but, you know, when Jesus died, I died. The old Percy, it was for me he died. So I was there. It's like a transactional thing. Even though I wasn't there, it was done for me. He was my representative and yours. And so the old Percy Campbell that was sort of maybe, I don't know how to describe it, but it was called the sinful nature. It's not just it's the nature of Adam, the fallen nature. It was also made powerless. And this is an amazing thing to grab hold of and run with. And when you run with this, wow, man, I'm telling you, you will catch liberty. You will catch freedom. Freedom. I'm standing in the Lord. I'm free. And I'll tell you what, you will experience this in your life. It's amazing. At the end of the service up in the Rangba on Sunday, there was like a revival. Friday, there was like revival broke out in the service. And you know, when you begin to experience this and not just know it, there's one thing knowing about a woman's love, but to experience it, it's fantastic.
That's right.
And I heard all the men say,
amen.
Yeah, amen.
It's one or two, did you hear them, girls?
Yeah.
Experiencing grace this year. Experiencing great grace and great power.
Yes.
That's where I want to lead you and take you. Now, let's look at this other one. We learned these things last week. His victory is our victory. I said that. Okay. Also, I said this one too. Sin exerts no dominion over us. Now, isn't that good to be free from something that the world is struggling against?
Yo.
The world struggles against this. I can't stop myself. It's my habit. It's my nature. I don't want to do it, but I do it. I don't want to look at pornography on the internet, but when people are away, that's the first thing that comes into my head. And this thing keeps coming back and back and back, they say. And, you know, it's not me, you know, but I'm saying that's what happens. The people I talk to in that, and they say, I really want to get free. And I know that all my dear brothers in the brethren assembly that I was in, you know, they couldn't go into marriage the right way. They, you know, we were all red-blooded, hot-blooded testosterone boys, okay? But they just couldn't do it. And they said, it's too hard, we can't do it. And, you know, Then they felt condemned, and then they left the church. So when you continue to have defeat, 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 you got no feet left. Defeat, 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 defeat. You got no feet. So you're lying there knocked out, man. You did a green on Anthony Mundine. No one saw the fight. Didn't? $6 million worth. Yeah. So you're defeated. But you know what it says? If you take the victory of Jesus at the cross for you, there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Oh, come on, people, come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No more dominion of sin. I love it. Don't you love this message? This is grace. This is forgiving grace. And it gets you started in your life. If you get this wrong at the beginning, you're sort of half crippled all the way through. So start experiencing this, identifying, making it yours, and it's like fishing. Get out into life and go for it, man. And you will see the difference in your life. And it's celebrated in communion. We looked at that, and we'll see it again today. All right, I think I'm finished. Let's read this last part. To embrace... Oh, isn't that lovely? All right, here we go then. And we're going to go on to our sermon for today. So where we got? I'm just going to check for us so that we... Okay, we've got a half an hour. See if we can go for it. Here we go. All right. All the blessings and favor that God's forgiving grace brings to us. That's today's sermon. Okay? All the blessings and favor that God's forgiving grace. So when you have victory in this area, look at me. Look at me and smile with me because this is good. The downstream and the side effects are brilliant. You know, we just think, oh, I'm forgiven. But the downstream, further on, down the river, get the headwaters right, and all of a sudden the river begins to be sweeter and beautiful. All right? So you can look at everybody. I see some of you looking down like, Puss, don't look at me. I tell you what, everybody, look, enjoy this because this was one for you. So you don't do anything. Grace means it's unmerited favor. And if God's going to give favor, don't you think he'll do a comprehensive job? Hey? Of course, if he's God, he will do the best job in the world. Okay? So, you know, this is not exaggeration. This is just par for the course for God.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Yeah? All right, let's have a look then and see what they are. And you can flow through in your notes too. When we embrace the forgiving grace of God to us at the cross, in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, we experience three things immediately. And this is one, freedom. Two, refreshing. Three, Holy Spirit's anointing. All right, let's go into the first one. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not. Everybody say shall not. Now, it doesn't say might not. It doesn't say, see, you might have been struggling in this and you're sitting in a grace church or you're coming in. Now, I'll tell you what. 95% of the people in churches around the world are on Struggle Street. And I was for years. Because that's why the message of grace is so important, to get to our brothers and sisters first in the church, that there was a complete work done. You don't have to struggle financially. You don't have to struggle in marriage and your marriage. You don't have to struggle in these things because God himself has come to live in you. And he's freed you from your sin forever. Oh, give him a hand. Woo! Since now we are not under law, because law is the strength of sin, is the law. We're not slaves. We're under grace. We're sons and daughters, subjects of God's favor and mercy. So he does good things in the marriage. He does good things in our finance. You know, I lived close to the edge for the last, I've lived close to the edge financially for about 40 years or more. No savings in bank. I don't have a bank savings thing. And I use credit cards sometimes, and I ask God to do that before repayments, etc. And do you know what? Diane and I could look at you and say, you know, I get $525 a week from this church. And Diane and I could look at you and say, surely goodness and mercy, she says goodness and mercy, has chased after me all the days of my life. So I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that word goodness is tob, you know, tob. It means finances chase after us. We as a church do not chase finances. We as individuals do not chase finances. Finances chase us because we're part of a new covenant. And he is very wealthy who we're in covenant with. We are rich in Christ. And that literally means dollars and cents as well. All right, that's freedom. So you got the freedom, right? Now let's have a look at this refreshing. Now in the Strong's Concordance, for those of you in Bible school and that, okay, it's 403 in Strong's. And you could look it up. An apps uxis. You want to try that? An apps uxis. It means to cool off and revive. A revival will occur in your life when you know you totally have been cleansed forever from sin. A revival will occur in your life. Now, how many of you know church is always praying for revival? Revivals. Lord, send revival. You know, well, the Bible says in this verse that when you change your mind about this and purpose and turn around and return to God and say, God, I'm agreeing with you on this. I'm agreeing with you, Acts 3:19, that my sins have been blotted out, wiped away, times of refreshing. And it gives a sort of thing for us Aussies. I love this for us Aussies, you know, because we live in a fairly hot country. Is that true? Yes. Recovering effects of heat from reviving with fresh air. Well, I used to live in Singapore, and Singapore's also got four seasons. Hot, very hot, stinking hot, and be hot. Okay, I didn't say the word. I'm still going to heaven. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. This is so exciting to know that when we come through this process of experiencing that we walk out this door today and we say, man, I know you girls get the flowers and you get these, you know, and you just grab it like this, you know, and you just toss them in the air, you know, wow, I'm free, you know, I'm free. Oh, wonderful. Someone's going to vacuum those later. Praise the Lord. Okay. Times of refreshing. Hold your hands up and say, thank you for your time of refreshing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Times of refreshing. And it doesn't say this freshing goes out. It doesn't say the aircon stops. No, we're wired in for the power of God. Fully wired in now. He's in there. And he restores our soul. He refreshes us. Oh, man, that's what the psalmist, Psalm 23, is a messianic psalm of grace, Psalm 23. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I'll never lack. That's grace. He will always be there. He's your pastor. The word shepherd means pastor. The Lord is my pastor. Not Percy. The Lord is my pastor, I shall never lack. He makes me to lie down in green meadows. He leads me beside the still and deep waters. He restores my soul. Oh, man, it's all there for us. We have got Mr. Restorer and Refresher in our life. Oh, man, oh, man. And that's why, you know, I get knocked down, but I get up again. And it comes from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Now, so that's what? First one was what?
Freedom.
Second one is refreshing. The third one is anointing. Now, look at this. Look at this. This is really good. Acts 2:30, and this happened in my life. When I was a brethren boy, this happened in my life. You know, what happened was something like this, because I got free through Watchman Nee's book on this subject, totally free. And I knew I was totally free, and I was rushing, pulling on the clothesline, yelling out, "I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead." And I was going round and round, and a copper grabbed me in the square in Palms North, and he said, "Boy, you're on drugs or something. Go home." I said, "No, I'm dead." And then he really grabbed my throat like that. Sir, would you be able to do that after, and we'll do it for you?
Yeah, sorry, I've got a media call, so I'm only going to take 2 parts.
Oh, okay. Okay, thanks.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. And it says, look, Acts 2:38, and Peter answered them, "Repent, change your views and purpose to accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it. And be baptized." So baptism shows that you know your sins are all forgiven. Oh, how powerful is baptism? See, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for showing to, it's actually the word to actually, the forgiveness of. So it's all connected with the fact you have been forgiven and released from sin. Oh man, this is so good. And now what happens? What's the promise? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So people, look at me. This is not only freedom and refreshing and restoring, all right, but it's also the presence of the Holy Spirit coming on you and in you. It's called the anointing. And that is really tremendous. So my life changed then when I was 19 and I read Watchman Nee's book, The Normal Christian Life. All right, I want to go on now. Number two. So the first one, I just whip back to you. The first one is when we embrace forgiveness, those three things come to you: freedom, refreshing, and anointing. All right? Now, number two, when we fully embrace the forgiving grace of God to us, shown in Christ at the cross, we experience a rest and deliverance from living on Struggle Street. Now, I started to touch on that, but I've refrained. Here it goes. The tiredness and emotional draining of living on Struggle Street leaves you, and you experience R1.
Rest.
See? Rest. Now, Jesus talked about two rests. Hebrews 3 is about the believer's rest. It's called faith or trust, where there is a place for the believer to run to where they're totally trusting God and no longer depending on self-effort.
Amen.
And that's called rest.
Yes.
All right? But then there was one that Jesus spoke to the the Pharisees and the people in the marketplace. And he said in Matthew 11, and you can read and enjoy it with me. 1, 2. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart. And you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls." And it's over the page. "For my yoke, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light, easy to put on." It's actually, "My burden is delightful." My burden is delightful. Now, you know what? Us great grace teachers, and me included, and you guys too, we've been saying, because we heard Pastor Prince say such and such, I want to add something to that. And I know Pastor Prince is just a brilliant preacher, and I listen to him lots. You know, I listen to him every week. I was listening to him yesterday, this morning, was it? I was listening to him this morning on Channel 10. And, you know, one of the things we say is Jesus was addressing those under law, and that's true. And you're saying law is a burden to you. And that's true. Is it not?
Yes.
It's true. And the strength of the law is sin. But I want to just take it one step further. I want to say, because they were under law, they were burdened down with this sin thing. They had to take oxen and slay them. They had to take sheep, turtle doves, pigeons, goats and lambs. And the smell of the barbecue and the blood was everywhere. And they had to continue to do that. And were always reminded about their sins, which was never washed away. But the Greek word is paresis. It was covered over until Jesus came and dealt with it. Sins of the past, present, future have all gone. Oh, glory. Oh, Karen. Great. I feel like dancing with you, sis. I can't dance, so you're all right. Better not dance. But I reckon this is R1. Rest in your soul. He talks about your soul, your mind, emotions, and will. No stress. Rest in that area. And then that believer's rest is something else for us when we're trusting God as he leads us for provision in all areas of our life. So I'll just press another little button here and see what we got. All right, next one. Number three. When we embrace forgiving grace, it rhymes, doesn't it? We experience and enjoy a well of thanksgiving and worship to God. E.g. Mary Magdalene. She who is forgiving much loves much. Now, you haven't got these slides. There's three slides missing from your presentation. I tried to keep it, on the one page for the church. Just 12 slides, but there's. I'm going to just go and look at one you haven't got. Okay, now let's look at Luke 36, chapter 7, verse 36, and to verse 50, and that should be not 5037, that 37 is verse 37 coming up. And behold, a woman of the town who was especially a wicked sinner. Now this lady's name was Mary of Magdala. Now, I've done research on this girl, and she was sold into sexual slavery at the age of 3. Her other name you could call Mary is Miriam. It means the same. Miriam, Mary. And she was sold to be a sex slave baby at the age of 3. And she would be sold to a man once a day, next day, next day. And this is what research tells me, that this happened way back then. Sexual slavery for a little baby. And now she is standing beside Jesus with sins totally forgiven, and he reminds her so, and she's criticized by this guy who says to Jesus, oh, this lady's a very notorious sinner. Let's read and see how she worshipped, because the Bible says, he who is forgiven much. Now, here's my point. If you know you've been forgiven everything, you will want to worship like you just don't know. You just know. It's just like a skyrocket taking off. And instead of you finding it hard to worship, it'll just flood like a burst bank, and it'll be so refreshing to your soul. So now watch this lady, because this is a lady that sort of interacts with us right now in terms of being a social outcast. And we have people like this that are sold into slavery. Even in Australia. When I saw that latest film, The Lion, how many have seen The Lion? The Lion. It was very good, wasn't it? I lived in India and I wanted to see this film. Over 80,000 children go into sexual slavery in India every year. Over 80,000. Now, Now, I know we're on World Wide Web, so I have to be careful what I say. But I lived in a slum in a certain country where that happened every day. Every day, the men came and got little boys dressed up as girls, and the mother got a few rupees or whatever, solo mum, and she would just live in a plastic thing. And I was in this one little house in the middle of a slum of over 1 million people, and that's where I worked. So don't tell me I don't understand this. Don't look at me and say, Chris, you don't know what you're talking about. Society has got a lot of this. People enslaved. as kids. So every man, I've heard girls talk to me and they'll say to me, Pastor, every man that came near me, I thought I was to drop my pants. Because I was enslaved in this when I was a little girl and I just thought that was the normal thing to do. And I'm emotional about this because I was living in that place and I would watch it every day, hundreds of little babies before they were one, dressed up, taken away for the day so mum could even buy a little bit of bread or something. And here's this girl, and she's now a woman. She was first at the cross when Jesus arose. Do you remember that? Mary Magdalene, can you say amen? Amen. Yeah, look at her. And behold, a woman of the town who was an especially wicked sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house. Everyone say wicked sinner. But you know, it wasn't her fault, was it?
No.
Brought an alabaster flask of ointment, so they called her a wicked sinner. But look, she brought an alabaster box. Now, maybe her mum gave it something in case one day she would grow to be married and get out of that. But you know what? There was a very expensive lot of perfume. You know the story, so I won't go on too much. Look at this now. And standing behind him, weeping, she began to wet her feet with her tears. And she did something you should never do, girls. As the, you know, she let her hair down, and in their custom, they would never do that. Same with Muslims now. You're not supposed to see the hair and stuff like that. And kissed his feet affectionately and anointed them with the ointment, perfume. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, this man is capital M, Jesus, were a prophet, he would surely know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him. For she is a notorious sinner, a social outcast, devoted to sin. And Jesus replying said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, Teacher, say it. A certain lender of money, now you know what this is, right? And there was two guys, I just preempt it, two people were in debt, one for a small amount, one for a large amount. And they were both absolved of their debt. Who do you think loved the person the most who was absolved of their debt? Who? The one who had the bigger debt. He who knows they have been totally forgiven, loves much. He who doesn't know that they're totally forgiven loves little and struggles. But he who loves much is showing that they... No, they're not showing and putting on an act. They're showing that they've got the revelation, the truth, and you'll know the truth and it'll set you free.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. They got the revelation that all their sins have been forgiven. No pain, no shame, no stain. Just rain now, just rain, just rain. And so we'll read about it. When they had no means of paying, he freely forgave them both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one I take for whom he forgave and cancel more. And Jesus said to him, you've decided correctly. Then turning to this woman, he said to Simon, the religious person, do you see this woman? When I came into your house, you gave me no water for my feet. Now, he must have been very rude to Jesus, this Pharisee. Because that was the custom. He invited Jesus, but he didn't have any servant to wash his feet. And it says, she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss. Oh, that was the normal thing to do when you met. Hi, how are you? We shake hands. They would kiss on the cheek. And he didn't do that even. But she has been kissing my feet tenderly and caressingly, intermittently throughout the whole thing. Wow. You did not anoint my head with cheap. By the way, you might have thought, well, how did she get into the party? The rules in the Jewish villages and that was you left your house front door open for any stranger who would come in if you are holding a banquet or something. You just left it open, okay? Which is a good thing, maybe, okay? She has anointed my feet with costly, rare perfume. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, many as they are, forgiven her because she has loved much. In other words, Her love, much love, shows you that her sins, great sins, have been forgiven. Give the Lord a hand, please. Fantastic. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, and he just again said to her, look, your sins are forgiven. Guess what? She was first at the tomb. She was holding his feet. She ran back to tell the disciples. That woman was a transformed girl. Hey, Miriam. A transformed woman. And she so fell in love with Jesus. Now, can I ask you a question? Would you like to be in love with Jesus for the rest of your life? Come on, would you? Would you like your love to be deeper than ever before? Would you like to experience, like really experience, a love affair with our Jesus? Yeah, I think you can, and that's normal. And I tell you what then. Listen, declare in your life today, add on to last week, for the rest of your life, you have been forgiven of everything which you can't even remember, which you know you wouldn't want to discuss anyway. You have been forgiven of every, because that is the power of the blood of Jesus. That is the power of the blood. It wasn't bulls and goats. It was the blood of Jesus. So girls, you know, you can, ladies, you can get, watch out for the thorns on this one. It may be remind you of the thorns on his brow. But he had thorns on his brow, but they weren't roses. But ladies, you can dance this morning as you interact.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Ah, you didn't have the life of Mary Magdala. But you've had a life which you know is fully clean. And guys, you can do this. Guys, you can actually do this. When the ladies do this, you can stamp your feet on the, it's not a floorboard. I was going to say do the Irish jig, but like the Wellington footballers do, rugby union, when Super Rugby, you know, down at the cake tin, down there in Wellington, they say, da-da, 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 da-da. They have this sort of dirgy thing. And it goes, and I'm going to put a Christian thing on it. Say, no stain, no pain, no shame, all gain. No stain, no shame, no pain, all gain. No stain, no shame, no pain, all gain. So when the girls are dancing this morning, guys, you can join and join with me and we'll see our sisters and we'll dance too. You know, in the Bible days, men were the principal dancers, actually. And in Iran, you dance. They love to dance. And you want to see Matthew. Where's Matt? Oh, man, he is. Yeah, I know. Amir. Where's Amir? Amir, just come for a moment. Come, man. Come, we're family. Come on. Amir is a dancer because when they graduated, this guy can really dance, you know. This guy is a dance. Now, you're going to go worldwide on this, man. You're going worldwide on this. Okay, so from Iran, and he's going to show you just a few things in the dance. Just do a round of few. Help me, come on. You, I'm not dancing with you. You're just going to do a few things. Sing the song. No, come on. Come on. A little, please. Give him a hand.
Hey? I show them. I know. I shake the button.
No. Not that. Some of the ones you did when we were graduating that night at the restaurant. You need the music. Next. Hey, watch this. La 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 la. Hey. Hey, you know, we did English. Heather was with me. Where's Heather? Heather was with me and Di and myself, and we taught English for the first year, a couple of years ago now. And you know, they graduated, they were so refreshed and relieved to be out from the pressure of learning English. And they were dancing down at the Thai restaurant. Oh, so good, so cool. And the girls were just sitting around watching them, and the guys were doing all the dancing. So guys, you can dance too if you wish. Oh, I missed something. God's forgiving grace, when embraced, helps you. I just got to watch my time here because I think I'm probably through. 2 minutes. God's forgiving grace, when embraced, helps you not to be judgmental of others. It removes anger, resentment, and rejection from our lives. Ephesians 4:32. I love this verse. It's so beautiful. And if you can get it in the context of what we're hearing today, you'll love it. Look, it says, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another. Tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely. How? As God in Christ forgave you. Isn't that fantastic?
Yes, thank you.
Isn't that just fantastic?
Thank you, Jesus.
So, in our redeemed community, you know, we don't have upsets with each other. Or if we do, we don't just brush it under the carpet. Guess what? It's all come under the blood. It's all come under the blood. And so we can get up and go on together to be and embrace together. When Paul writes to the Philippians, he's saying that, and it says strive. And I looked up that word strive, and it's not striving. It says like a team comes together. You know, like a team comes together and all work for it. I was watching the Rugby Sevens yesterday. Did anyone see the Rugby Sevens? Oh, none of you who live in my house, I can see that. So there's a few rugby boys here. And, you know, I was watching the boys. They have to run hard. And the girls, oh, fantastic. The girls, the Aussie girls didn't do well. They got the gold medal, but they didn't get well. And United States won it. And then Canada won it. Then United States. Then Kiwis. And then Aussies. And, you know, they get in huddles. And that's what Paul meant. He said, you're getting persecuted. Hey, he said, instead of getting angry and hatred and all that, he said, huddle together. Come together, embrace one another. It's not striving. It's not striving. It's being part of a redeemed community. It's wonderful. Guys, come on. Look at each other and look around and say, I'm never going to be unforgiving. I'm never going to be unforgiving. Declare it. I'm never going to be unforgiving. Never going to be unforgiving. It's amazing. Lily, never going to be unforgiving to you. Okay. All right, just finish, just quickly, eh? Is that possible for me? Yes, it is. When we realize that Christ has forgiven us forever for all our sin and remembers them no more, ume, then we are empowered to enjoy and experience the ability to forgive all others forever. So I've got a neighbor, you know, and something I've got to keep, I can't say it on this thing, that might not, you know, want to get on with me. But instead of me rehearsing and all that, you know, I just let it go and I just forgive him.
That's right.
And I'm not going to let it impede my progress. Because I tell you what, if you get angry at someone who's angry with you, which you don't like their anger, you become exactly like them.
Yeah.
But if you forgive like Jesus, you become just like Jesus. That's true, huh? Now, the last one, I think this will do, I think that's two. We now can come boldly to our Father God and our High Priest Jesus for all grace that we need. We now can enter the most holy place. Why? Why can we call ourselves righteous? Because the job has been done. We are totally free from sin. Now, you're sitting here, and if you don't know grace, you've probably already said in your mind, does that mean the handbrake's off and I can just go and sin and all that? No, I tell you what you find from people that are free totally from sin. They love and worship Jesus. And the dominion of sin is broken over their life. I haven't found people in this church racing around trying to sin more. You say, well, Percy, you better not come to my house then. Oh, okay. Okay, but I haven't found that. I've found a lot of Christians, though, Having lived in 15 countries, I found a lot of Christians struggling over sin.
Yeah.
It's struggle street for them.
Yeah.
And they give up. My best man gave up. At my wedding, you know, my best man who loves me and still loves me very much, and I love him. We have a connection together. And I saw him recently, but I don't say anything more. I'm on thing. But I love him. I just love you, mate. I look in the camera. I love you. And I love you to come back to Jesus and know your DNA, that when he died, you died.
Amen.
You don't need to live under this struggle.
Amen.
Okay, the next one. Matthew 27. Matthew, sorry, Matt, I wasn't talking to you. Matthew 27, 50 to 53. And Jesus cried again. Now, look at the connection as I close. With a loud voice he cried, and he gave up his spirit. What did he cry? It What did he cry? Yeah, teleos in the Greek means completed, job well done, mission accomplished, it is finished. Right? Now look what happened. And he gave up his spirit. And at once, everybody say once, at once. Now what does at once mean? Immediately, straight away. Naala. Definitely naala. Now. Huh? Now. Jintieno, no. How do you say that in Mandarin now?
Senjai.
Huh? Senjai. Okay, well, Jintian's today, isn't it? But now, at once, the curtain of the sanctuary, that was the inner curtain of the sanctuary, was torn in two from heaven to earth. Right? The earth shook. Man, this is grace, man. A grace earthquake, like which took the thing, fetters off Paul. Grace earthquake. Opened doors. And yet all the prisoners were there. Grace earthquakes. And look at this one. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened and many body of the saints had been looking forward to this forgiveness forever. Before that it was only covered. Never removed. But they were looking forward to look. And those who had fallen asleep in death were raised, and coming out of history records there were thousands of them came back to life.
Thank you,
Lord. And lived with their relatives till they died. Amazing. Amazing. Thousands of them came back to life. And your auntie and uncle who had known Jesus, Manchai, came back and said, Manchai, how are you going? Forgiveness has happened.
Yeah.
Forgiveness has happened. They went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Now, my last one. Through receiving his forgiveness through his shed blood, we can now enjoy being in the new covenant.
Yeah.
I could not leave this one out, really. It should have been first. You see, the new covenant is celebrated by the shed blood. It's inaugurated, rather, not celebrated. It's inaugurated and then celebrated because his blood was shed. It's a blood covenant. Now, look, read it up there. I'm sure you've read it. Look. Where all that belongs to him now belongs to us. All grace, all favor, all prosperity in every area. You know, if you think we're a church, I was listening to Pastor Prince this morning, and he said, if you think new creation churches, he said, if you think that they're all the time just talking about money and health, health and wealth. No, we don't. We say well-being in every area of our life. But listen, if you're rich and you're sick, that's not much fun.
That's right.
If you have no health and you've got a lot of wealth, that's not much fun.
No.
So I do not apologize for speaking that God has made a way for us to have well-being in our health, in our wealth, in our marriages, in our relationships, in our life, in our jobs.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And I invite any of the ladies who just want to come and worship to begin to do this and interact, because we're going to interact in communion in a moment. Now look at this, look at this. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. This is the context. Saying, drink of it. I'd like to learn this in Aramaic so I can tell you how it went. Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant. Now look, which is being poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How powerful is that? So what he says, every time you come together, interact with me. Interact with me. Let's drink of his blood this morning. Let's drink of this beautiful forgiveness, this amazing forgiveness. I'd like a whole heap of you to email me this week and text me and say, Purse, that was good teaching today. Used to happen in the church. Now no one does. I need to be encouraged. Amen? I will help you, you say. Okay. Come on then. This is the blood of the covenant, the new covenant that has totally removed our sins forever. Come on. Hallelujah. Drink it. Celebrate it. Rejoice in it. Worship him. Give him thanks. Every sin is gone. Hallelujah. All believers interact now as we take communion. Thank you, Jesus. You do it your way. We drink of your forgiveness, Lord. Now the bread speaks of life, the daily bread. And we thank you for a life of prosperity and wholeness right now because of the stripes of Jesus. When Isaiah said, he said, by the stripes he bore, we are made well. And you say it in English, we have been brought into well-being. So what shalom means, that's what soteria, salvation means. Okay, well-being. So let's toast him and thank him now. For well-being throughout 2017 shall be the best year of our lives so far. The best year of our lives so far. You know, at Narangba, there's a lady there called Mary. It's like the word Miriam. And as I told you, I went to Redcliffe Hospital about a year ago. And the doctors and parent, the family rang me and said, Percy, we understand you're the pastor of that group of people up there. And some people in the group said to me, Percy, the family are wanting someone who's, you know, she says she's got a pastor. Would you go? I couldn't find a car park at Redcliffe Hospital, but I found one. But in the time, I asked Jesus. It gave me time to ask Jesus. I wasn't thinking. I was just thinking about the car park. But then I thought, okay, no car park. So what do you want to talk to me? And he said, just say this. Live again. Did you hear that? Live again. She was my age. And you know what? She was there with her tongue hanging out and she was just lying there. And I walked in and all of a sudden I felt the Holy Spirit just come up from deep within me. And I shouted it out and I shouldn't have shouted it. Here, brother. Here. Thank you. You dance well, bro. And you were never even coerced. It was wonderful. But you know what? I said to her, Mary! And there was about 10 people dying and they had them all there, you know, and this is true. In the Redcliffe Hospital, I said, Mary! And her eyes were closed and her tongue was out and her mouth was dry and her hair was all down, you know, and she's a woman my age, you know, 23. And I tell you what, I said, Mary! And it just came out, live again! And all of a sudden, the life of God came into her. And she opened her eyes and she said, Percy, Percy. And that night they took her out of the intensive and put her in her own room, free from the intensive care. They had come 4 nights to say goodbye to their mum, who was close to death. 4 nights. And then finally we got to her and said, live again. Now, you know, where is our dear sister that brought you, Tracy? Oh, there. Tracy, you saw the lady just walking around like this? Yeah. You know, she couldn't walk. She'd have to go have a wee about 5 times every service, you know, and they would take her out like that. And every week I started to see her get stronger and stronger. I came back from holidays, and there she is, second time round. We've been going there 2 weeks since this year started. And I tell you what, she's walking around. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God, Robert. Praise God, I tell you. The power of the life of Jesus comes into you when the blood has totally done its job. Yes. Hallelujah. So I eat of his life. I drink of his blood. The life of God. I love you forever.